Hi, how's it going? Welcome to Breakfast All Day. How are you? Alonzo and I are here.
Hello.
On this most magical of mornings.
Yeah.
Everyone likes Oscar nomination day.
I guess they do. I don't know why, but they do.
So, it's a big day. It's Hollywood's biggest morning, and I'm noisy. Hold on. And so, they do it differently now than they used to, as far as the announcements.
How so?
So, before, we used to all go to the Academy, and we'd be there, you know, when they broke in at 5:38 a.m., and they would do it live from the Academy. And now they just have like Kumail Nanjiani and Tracee Ellis Ross sitting on stools with a couple of cameras. Like we used to.
Oh,
all,
so it's not in a room with everybody anymore.
No, we used to all go into like the big Academy theater.
Oh, no, I remember. I never went, but I would watch that coverage back when I cared.
Yes, so,
I used to wake up for that. It's insane.
I set my alarm for 5:15. So disappointing, as the song suggests. Disappointing.
It's a very mixed bag. Like, I mean, in any year where the leading nominees are Roma and The Favorite, I mean, let's not be too spoiled about this. That's pretty awesome.
Those are my 1-2 this year. The
exactly.
Favorite Roma are my 1-2 this year.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that those are not traditionally Oscar bait kind of movies. Like somebody was saying how shocking it was when Dogtooth made it onto the foreign language list. And if you thought that, like, you know, what, not that many years later, Yorgos Lanthimos would have one of the most nominated films of the year, like, nobody would have seen that coming.
And a Best Director nomination.
Exactly. But yes, of course, tons of individual disappointments.
So so Roma and The Favorite both have the most nominations with 10, including Best Picture, Best Director. You have Yalitza Aparicio for Best Actress, which I know I thought of you when I saw that, and Olivia Colman for Best Actress. From those two films, you have Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone in supporting actress, and you have
Marina Davila. I don't have it in front of me. Yeah.
And she got a supporting actress nomination. So that is really great.
Yes.
And that is really exciting. And the fact that in the Best Director race, you have three foreign directors in there with between Alfonso Cuarón for Roma and
Pavel Pavlikovsky.
That's a huge surprise to me.
Yeah,
the Cold War director. And you have Yorgos Lanthimos for
Favorite.
Yes. So anyway, we're all over the place here. I apologize. I should have planned. I didn't plan. I just sort of...
It's a lot to take in.
Okay. So what are you happy about today?
What am I happy about? I'm happy that Roma did so well. I'm happy they did not ignore Melissa McCarthy. Like, I think Richard E. Grant was considered sort of a lock and supporting actor, but...
For
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yeah.
But Best Actress, very, very competitive field.
It was a bloodbath.
Yeah. And so, you know, that was going to be a tough one. So happy to see Melissa McCarthy be in there.
But Glenn Close is going to beat everybody.
Probably so. there are two black and white films up for Best Cinematography this year.
Yes, Cold War and Roma.
Yeah. And Mark Harris made an interesting observation, as he generally does, on Twitter this morning, where he said that without it ever being any kind of a big deal or la-di-da, 7 of the 20 nominated performances this year are people playing queer characters.
That's true. You have Rami Malek for Freddie Mercury, Bohemian Rhapsody, Olivia Colman and Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone.
Right.
And
both McCarthy and Grant from Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Right, they're both gay. Right.
So, you know, there's... but there's a bunch of them. So that's kind of a cool... You know, it's one of those sort of quiet steps forward that's nice.
And yet, in the Best Director race, you still have 5 men.
Yes, you do. But one of them is Spike Lee.
Who's never been nominated before.
Never been nominated.
Which is amazing
before.
To think of that. Like, how is that possible in this man's, like, 30-plus year career? This is his first.
Yeah. And is this
nomination.
Sam Elliott's first nomination?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott, which I would say is maybe your supporting actor frontrunner. For A Star Is Born?
I would think, you know, I think he's kind of in that Don Ameche category of like, yeah, this movie, whatever, but overall you've been great and you're like a workhorse and people like you and, you know, I think it's about time we, you know. So whatever, if he wins, I'm not going to be mad about that. In my mind, he should have won it for Grandma. So
let's talk about just real fast, just to get through like the niceties here. What our Best Picture nominees are, because there are eight.
Yes.
There could be 10.
Right.
I could think of a couple that I would like to have seen in those spots, but it's just so weird with the whole like weighted ballot thing as far as what gets in and what doesn't mathematically. I don't get it. So your 10 best, your 8 rather, Best Picture nominees are Black Black Klansman, Black Panther, mm-hmm. which is very exciting, and the first superhero movie ever. Black Panther is the kind of movie that they expanded Best Picture to 10
to
spots for,
yes.
right? Like a decade ago when The Dark Knight didn't get one, everyone thought, okay, like we need to expand. So this is kind of like the most popular. This is like Best Picture and most popular, and that Venn diagram in between, right. you get Black Panther. Bohemian Rhapsody. The favorite. Green Book. Roma. The Star is Born and Vice. I do not get the love for Vice.
I don't either.
It is not good.
No, I mean, I'm occasionally accused of like having an agenda and only liking a movie for its politics. I am totally on the page of Vice's politics, and I still don't think it's a very good movie.
Yeah, and we talked about Vice in a previous episode, so please go back and revisit that. So, yeah. And then Best Director, as we mentioned, Alfonso Cuarón, Yorgos Lanthimos, Spike Lee, Adam McKay for Vice, and Pavel Pavlikowski for Cold War. That's really the surprise one for me, but I'm thrilled that, like, you don't have Peter Farrelly in here.
Yes,
you don't have whoever directed Bohemian Rhapsody,
yeah.
you know, a director to be named later or whatever it is.
Some troll tried to get up on Mario Gates this morning about, well, were there any films directed by women this year that would belong on this list? And she was like,
well, leave no trace.
Can you ever forgive me?
Right.
I didn't particularly love You Were Never Really Here, but a lot of people did.
Private Life is Lovely.
Yeah, there was a ton of them.
There's quite a few. Best Actress, which we mentioned was very, very competitive. You have Yalitza Aparicio, which is very exciting. Glenn Close for The Wife, who I would suspect.
Which I now have to see.
Yeah, which I suspect is your front runner here.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman for The Favorite, I'm so thrilled about.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga, 2-time nominee today because she also got nominated for Shallow.
Apparently the first person to get a Best Actress and Best Song nomination in the same year. Streisand has gotten them on different years, Gaga's the first one to do them.
I was going to guess Barbara Streisand, didn't she do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me. Best Actor, we have Christian Bale for Vice, which was a given. Bradley Cooper for A Star is Born did not get a Best Director nomination.
No.
Star is Born did not direct itself. But I would suspect
you know what? You get 8 pictures and 5 directors.
Right. It's not going to line up. But, and then the cool thing with that, though, is like, Pavel Pavlikowski got in there, and that's so unexpected. So.
Christopher Tapley pointed out that in the expanded era of more than 5 Best Pictures, he's only the second director to get nominated without the movie getting directed. Getting nominated, rather.
Okay.
The other one being Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher.
I see, yes. Okay, so Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's
Gate.
Which
I also have to see.
Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen. Tony Lip,
Forget about it.
Your regular Goomba, eating an entire pizza at one time in Green Book.
Okay, let's talk about exclusions. It was, Best Actress was super competitive, and no question there was going to be people that we liked who got left out.
Regina Hall.
For instance. But I think Best Actor, there were a lot of better choices they could have made.
Who would you put in there?
John C. Reilly for Sisters Brothers. Mm-hmm. Steve Coogan for Stan and Ollie. Those are the two that immediately leap to mind. I'm sure if I comb back through the rest of the year, there are other ones as well.
Yeah, that's a couple. That's a good one. So then Supporting Actress, we have Amy Adams yet again for Vice. Marina de Tavira.
De Tavira, sorry.
For Roma. That was a really nice surprise. I did not think that was going to happen.
You know, somebody was saying earlier this week that they could see Linda Cardellini getting a nomination because sometimes...
Oh, for Green Book.
Yeah, because people just get sort of swept up in popular movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that instead we got the Marina de Tavira nomination, and she's great. I'm thrilled.
Yes. Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. So I guess you have to assume they're going to cancel one another out, maybe?
Yeah. I think Regina King just coming in off of all the other awards shows before this would appear to be the front runner, but who knows?
That'd be great. And then Amy Adams has been nominated like 5 times previously, so maybe like now she is due. She's so great in Vice.
I don't know that this is going to be the one where, I mean, yeah, the time will come where it's like, okay, we can't not do it. You know? But I don't know if this is it.
The supporting actor, you have Mahershala Ali in Green Book, Adam Driver in Black Klansman. Nominate the white dude.
I was going to say,
Black Klansman.
Not Mr.
But
Washington,
he's so good in it. He's so good.
He's good.
Okay. Sam Elliott for A Star is Born.
Mm-hmm.
Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Sam Rockwell for Vice.
That seems a little lazy.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, they just gave it to him in this category. Was it last year, 2 years ago?
Last year was Three Billboards.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, he's fine.
He's fine
in Vice, but he's already given that performance in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And I like other... incarnations of W more than his version of it. I was really sad that we did not have Steven Yeun for Burning. Yes. We also just don't plain have Burning in foreign language, which is, like, for me, the biggest snub of the day, which we'll get
let's
to.
Let's not use the word snub.
Okay, well, that word. Disappointment.
Fine.
Oversight.
Exclusion.
I really would have liked to have seen. I don't know how you have that foreign language category and you don't have Burning in it, but we'll get down to that. Anything else? Any other exclusions in these two categories that you see?
I mean, there were tons. So, God, for supporting actors, I think I love the whole cast of Sisters Brothers, so you could have put, like, Riz Ahmed in there or, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal, Hayley Lou Richardson for Support the Girls.
She's so
we're
good.
Talking about
yes.
Regina Hall.
I just watched that again last night. I get to do a Q&A tonight with Regina Hall.
Oh,
because
nice.
She's a Spirit Award nominee for Best Actress. And she won at the New York Film Critics Circle. I feel like the Spirit Awards are my Oscars this year.
Yeah.
They reflect how I feel more.
Although, Suspiria didn't get nominated for anything.
Suspiria didn't get anything. I know you're very happy about that. Like, okay, so Tilda could have been in there for Best Supporting Actor. Right.
Yeah, I was gonna, that's a tough one. Like, which performance are we nominating here?
All of them. Mother Suspiriorum. And, the Thom Yorke song is really good. Okay, so let's do Best Original Screenplay is next up. The Favorite. That's awesome. First Reformed. Paul Schrader.
Great, yes. Where was Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hawke.
That's who I meant to mention also.
Ethan Hawke is an enormous oversight. Yeah, that's a real bummer. He was our pick at LA Film Critics for Best Actor. So that's a total bummer that he did not get nominated. The Green Book screenplay is apparently one of the best original screenplays of the year. Eighth Grade's not in there.
Nope.
But Green Book is. Roma, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Vice, which we're not fans of. Mm-hmm. Okay, adapted screenplay is A Star is Born. Mm-hmm. Ballad of Buster Scruggs, that got more nominations today than I expected it would.
Wait, adapted from what?
I don't know.
What's it based on?
I don't know. Something else.
Fascinating.
Something else, apparently.
I didn't even think about that.
We'll
until
look
now.
It up. Yeah. Black Klansman,
mm-hmm.
If Beale Street Could Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so Barry Jenkins gets a screenplay nomination.
Yes.
Yeah. Beale Street, I think, belonged in Best Picture.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And is not in there.
But, you know, as has been pointed out, like, Green Book is the kind of narrative about race that white Academy voters like, because it suggests that, you know, it's fixable if we can all just learn to get along.
Yes.
And if Beale Street is talking about the larger difficulties of, you know, institutional systemic racism and Academy don't have time for
it's
that.
It's tricky. So Beale Street and Can You Ever Forgive Me was also nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, and that
Nicole Hall of Center.
Yes, that was our LA Film Critics pick for Best Screenplay was Can You Ever Forgive Me. Okay, makeup and hairstyling, only three. Sometimes they just do three.
They do.
Border. You saw Border, right?
I didn't see Border. I heard it was great.
I'm not going to spoil for you what happens in this movie that earns it a makeup nomination.
I need to see it.
Mary Queen of Scots, that makes total sense because they transform the gorgeous Margot Robbie, and then Vice, of course, because they turn Christian Bale into
Dick Cheney.
All right, costume design. This is tricky because you have Sandy Powell competing against herself. For The Favorite and for Mary Poppins Returns. I like her work in The Favorite a lot better. I mean, they're both gorgeous.
Sure.
They're very, very different. And then you have Buster Scruggs, Mary Zoffries, who is the Coen brothers' longtime costume designer. Ruth E. Carter. I kind of hope she wins. That would be
awesome.
Those
are some gorgeous costumes.
They're gorgeous. And then Mary Queen of Scots.
These nominees sort of show you that the Academy, when it comes to costumes, they love period and they love exotic, but they don't necessarily pay attention to people using contemporary costumes in a way that advances the story or reveals the characters. Because, as Bibbs pointed out, they should have nominated A Simple Favor.
Right. Yeah. The clothes in that really tell that story.
Yeah.
Like, the way both of their design choices begin to mirror each other and evolve as the film goes on. Yeah, is totally germane to who these characters are.
Yeah.
All right, cinematography, a category that I always love. Mm-hmm. So we have, as Alonzo mentioned, we have two different black and white films. We have Roma and Cold War, which are both interesting because they've got a lot of similarities, right? Mm-hmm. They're both very personal stories derived from the director's own family experiences.
Right. And I think they also both sort of use black and white to evoke nostalgia in a way. Mm-hmm. To, like, the thought of, like, this is how we think of the past.
To evoke a nostalgia, but also there's such an immediacy and a directness to those images. Mm-hmm. You know, it's it really brings you in there. There's like a no-nonsense kind of stripped down element to the use of black and white in both of those films. The Favorite, which is gorgeous, of course.
Lovely fisheye lenses.
Yes. Never Look Away, which I now have to see, apparently. All 2 hours and 40 minutes of it. Caleb Deschanel shot it.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. And then Star is Born, Matthew Libatique shot that, which it is beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. He also shot Venom, let's not forget.
That's true. It's been a big year. So, original song, like, nothing's going to beat Shallow.
I can't imagine it. I was kind of, for all my mixed feelings about Mary Poppins Returns, they didn't even submit what I thought was the best song in the movie for this category.
Which one was that?
Which was Can You Imagine That?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. It tells a story.
Yeah.
It tells many stories.
So instead they went with, was it The Place?
It's the sad song that makes you cry, the little kid crying song.
Yeah.
In the attic, the place where the lost things go.
Right.
Written by Mark Shaiman.
Yeah, so one of the Kendrick Lamar songs from Black Panther, The Stars.
Yes, and then the Diane Warren song from RGB.
RBG,
that too. And then, of course, Shallow. And then there's the song that Tim Blake Nelson does in the beginning, the first segment of Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Which is my favorite part of the film. So.
Yes. Original score, you have Black Panther. You have Terrence Blanchard's Black Klansman score. Mm-hmm. You have Nicholas Britell's beautiful music in Beale Street, which, again, was our LA Film Critics pick. Isle of Dogs, the very divisive Isle of Dogs, and Mark Shaiman's Mary Poppins Returns music.
I would be fascinated to know if anybody could parse out the score from that movie separate from the song.
It's hard to know, yeah, because the songs are so important. Yeah. I would pick Beale Street here.
Oh, God, yes, no question.
Okay, documentary feature. This is where it gets really tricky. Let's talk about documentary feature. So what got nominated? There's some awesome stuff.
Yes.
And there's some stuff that's missing.
Yes.
So Free Solo, not shocking at all. Happy to see it. Did like 7 Q&As with Alex Honnold and or Jimmy Chin and or Alex's girlfriend, Sonny. So that is great. I still have to see Hale County this evening.
You do. It's gorgeous. It was on my top 10 docs list. It's a beautiful film and a lot more experimental than usually gets attention in this category.
Okay.
So that's kind of a surprise.
I know we have screeners of it. So
Ramel Ross's film.
Yes. Mining the Gap.
My favorite doc of the year.
Is
so
great.
I was happy about
and
that.
And that was our winner for best editing at LA Film Critics. Of Fathers and Sons is a surprising one.
Yeah, here. Didn't see it. I need to catch up with that one.
I have seen it. Do you know what it's about?
It's the Palestinian?
It's Syria. It's this guy who embeds himself with a family of this father who is a jihadist and how he teaches his young sons how to kill people.
Oh, yeah. My. Okay.
Yes. And then RBG, which is not surprising. So I think everyone figured that Won't You Be My Neighbor would not only get nominated, but will probably win this category and now is not in there.
Do we think it's because Morgan Neville had two films this year and they canceled each other out? Because he also had The Love Me When I'm Dead, the Orson Welles doc
which
for
did not get
Netflix.
Nominated. I don't know. That hadn't even occurred to me.
I was shocked because I thought if anything was a lock in this category, it was Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Yeah. Also, Three Identical Strangers would have been cool.
Yeah. And, of course, Shirkers.
Shirkers would have been nice.
Which the billboard of which I just drove past on Pico on my way over here. Yes.
Sandy, it was shortlisted.
Sandy Tan. That won the LAFCA Best Documentary. A great doc, and you should go watch it on Netflix.
Yes.
But, did not make the cut, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I think Free Solo wins this, although there's so much sentiment for Ruth Bader Ginsburg that maybe that reason alone it wins.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's the same sentiment that got it nominated, because like as much as obviously I think she's great, the documentary is fine.
It's good. It's solid.
It is solid and straightforward and doesn't do anything particularly interesting. You know, it's better than On the Basis of Sex, which got completely shut out. But it's... You know, I think that's a nomination. It's about the affection for the subject more than for the filmmaking.
Yes. Okay. Animated feature. Incredibles 2. Mm-hmm. Not shocking. Isle of Dogs. The very divisive Isle of Dogs.
Very.
Mirai.
Which I need to see.
It's pretty. It's your G-Kids entry for the year.
Okay.
Ralph Breaks the Internet. I'm excited because Phil Johnston, who wrote and directed it, is a really good friend of ours. So I'm happy about that for him. And then Spider-Verse. Which will win?
That's, yeah. That's got to be the winner.
Which should win? Okay. Let's talk about foreign language. Okay. This is the one that pisses me off the most. All right. So, Capernaum, which is just a fucking bummer, which I am so not a fan of this film. You haven't watched it yet, right?
I haven't, but I've heard very mixed about it.
Yikes. It is just relentlessly bleak, and it's powerful, but yeah. I know it was a lock for this category, but I'm just like, Cold War. Thrilled.
Sure.
It's gorgeous. Great. Totally belongs there. Never look away. We gotta watch it now. So maybe we'll play catch up with it and come talk to you about it.
Yes.
Roma, awesome.
Totally.
Shoplifters, awesome.
Yay.
Okay, so the word you did not hear in here was burning.
Yes.
How do you have this category and not have what is like this filmmaker's masterpiece?
And it qualified, right? It was shortlisted.
I think everyone thought it was a lock. It was a given.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it go over people's heads. Did they not get it? I honestly don't know.
I can't imagine that people didn't see it. I feel like people saw it.
Well, and I mean, isn't this one of those categories where they have like a subcommittee where you have to see everything before you get to vote, or is it opened up?
If they get shortlisted, you mean?
Yeah. I don't pay attention to the bylaws, so I don't know how this works. It used to be that like for Foreign and Doc and some other ones, there were so many submissions that you had to be on this committee and you had to have seen X number of films to even vote.
Okay.
And then the Academy at large would vote on the five nominees.
All right.
But I don't know. I'm sure if y'all want to tell us in the comments how that plays out. But yeah, I don't know what that's about.
This and No Ethan Hawke in Best Actor to me are the two biggest bummers of the day, because Burning is just stunning and needs to be seen at least once. Hopefully more than once.
Well, I don't get bummed because I don't care. And because I don't trust, I never trust the Academy to do the right thing. So here's the thing. I am delighted when they do get it right. And then when they don't, I'm like, well, you know, this is what they do.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that at some point today too. Like, how much can you care? Okay. So sound mixing and sound editing are essentially the same. Black Panther is in both. Bohemian Rhapsody is in both. First Man is in both.
Oh, First Man.
And it belongs there. And then you have Roma in both. But then A Star is Born got a sound mixing nomination. And A Quiet Place got a sound editing nomination. Okay. So that makes sense. The sound in Roma is exquisite.
Oh, yeah.
If you can see it in
another,
the theater.
Another reason to see it in a theater, yeah.
To experience it. I don't know what, I guess Roma wins for both of these, or maybe First Man wins for both of these. And this is the only thing First Man gets. I figured First Man would get in there for score.
Sure. Yeah. Claire Foy, people were thinking maybe had a shot at it.
Or Best Picture. I feel like it's a movie that just dropped off of everybody's radar. And I wonder if it is just that like Damien Chazelle won so much so recently, or maybe this is such a massive departure from La La Land that a lot of folks felt it was a letdown by comparison. I just don't know.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, this was supposed to be, again, after the last couple of years of like changing the Academy membership and trying to make it younger and trying to make it more diverse and adding more people of color. And, you know, this is apart from Roma, it feels like a fairly traditional slate, you know?
Right. Well, the fact that Green Book is so prominent.
Well, I think that's older Academy members just holding on for dear life to like a narrative they can still work
with. The last vestiges of movies that made sense. So real fast, a few more. And forgive my voice, by the way, guys. It's like, it's better than it has been in days. I'm still kind of husky. Best Production Design, you got Black Panther, The Favorite, First Man, Mary Poppins Returns, and Roma.
Kyle Buchanan pointed out that the woman for Black Panther, who we honored at LAFCA,
Hannah Beachler,
was not only the first female production designer to work for Marvel Studios, she is the first African American to be nominated in this category.
It's amazing. And I was thrilled to see Black Panther get in there. It absolutely deserves it.
Yeah.
That is really tough. These are all really incredibly different, gorgeous films. I don't know what to pick.
Yeah, luckily they nominated Black Panther for production design, and they didn't nominate her for visual effects, which I think was a smart way to go.
Yeah, so So visual effects. Yeah, so you have Avengers Infinity War, Christopher Robin, First Man, Ready Player One, and Solo, a Star Wars movie. I just don't even know what to do with that.
That's our Suicide Squad makeup this year, I guess.
I vote for Ready First Player Man. One.
Jesus.
Let's pick the highbrow one of all of those. Film editing. Okay, this is interesting. Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. That makes sense because there's a lot of like going back and forth between timelines and perspectives and things. Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody. Because that whole car ride on the way to Live Aid, they cram in so much.
So much happens.
Yes.
No, I mean, you know, and I think that Live Aid sequence is so great, but if you look at the side-by-side comparisons, they basically just reenacted it. So it's not like, oh, what great editing. It's like, no, you're just...
doing what already
you're just
exists.
Doing it. You're copying a thing that happened. Yeah.
The favorite, which I hope wins here, Green Book and Vice. I kind of hate the way Vice is edited.
That's most editing. Exactly. That's the old joke about most editing, for sure.
It is that. Animated short and live action short. I don't know anything about any of these except for Bao.
Bao
is the only one I know. Same for you?
Yeah.
So Bao was what played before Incredibles 2, and I just sobbed like a ninny. So I vote for that one. I don't know anything in the live action or documentary shorts.
No, but I'll tell you, in recent years, they have made those shorts a lot more accessible to people. Theatrically. So it is quite likely that if you're in the United States, there's a good chance that traveling package of shorts will come to where you are. There was an article this morning that apparently, you know, AMC and Regal both traditionally do, like they'll screen all the Best Picture nominees. And currently they aren't planning to show Roma. Because it was never sort of licensed to them or some nonsense, whatever. I hope they work that out. I hope that people get the opportunity to see it projected and that it doesn't get excluded just because of some weird Netflix thing.
Well, then where did Roma play in Los Angeles? Like the ArcLight?
It played at the Vista. Okay. I mean, it played at some different sort of indie spots. You know, they have Netflix, I think, owns that iPic theater down in Westwood. Okay. I saw it at the Egyptian in 70mm.
Was that amazing?
It was amazing. But yeah, I don't know that it played in any like chain theaters. So
okay.
Anyway, I hope they work that out. And this was Netflix's first Best Picture nomination, by the way.
There you go. So let's talk about whether it should matter. Should any of this matter? I found myself getting simultaneously pissed off and annoyed and then trying to tell myself, like, none of it matters. Does it matter?
I don't know. I mean, I tweeted about how it doesn't matter, and I had several people be like, well, the only reason some of these movies get made is because they want to get Oscars, and so like that's how a lot of these indies get funded. And I'm like,
no,
I don't think that's true. I think that's such a long shot. I think these movies get funded because they think they're going to make money on it some other way, like in some other country maybe, or, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot
streaming.
There are a lot of indie films that get made just because of the passion of the people involved. I don't think the Oscars account for that much of why films like this get greenlit. And, you know, yes, it is a nice, I think they've always existed as a way for the industry to sort of like sell people movies they've already seen or didn't see the first time. And so if this makes more people trudge out to see The Favorite or Roma or Cold War because it's got this imprimatur on it, I got to go see it now, then that's not a bad thing, obviously. But I think to take the Academy Awards too seriously as a mark of quality, as a seal of approval, you know, do the homework. Like, historically speaking, a lot of movies have won for ridiculous reasons, and a lot of movies that won don't hold up, and a lot of movies that have held up and that are considered classics and great American films were ignored or, you know, maybe, you know, got a few nominations or something. So... yeah, this is a fun party game, but don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the people in the world who never got an Academy Award, right?
Yeah.
Hitchcock.
Cary Grant, Stanley Kubrick, you know.
Right.
Ida Lupino.
They are no lesser artists because of it, yeah. And it makes me realize more and more, like, the Spirit Awards are my Oscars because a lot of the movies I love, like, Sorry to Bother You.
Yep.
That belongs, if anything is an original screenplay, that belongs in your original screenplay category. Like, is that just too weird? It's Hereditary too weird. Eighth Grade.
Yeah.
A beautifully written script. Like, maybe Elsie Fisher doesn't get into Best Actress because it's just so crammed.
But like, yeah, that screenplay
is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And how is that in there, but Green Book is not?
Yeah, you know, yeah. For that matter, in the supporting actor category, Josh Hamilton.
Right.
You know, there was a little talk about him, but not nearly enough, obviously.
Right. Like Toni Collette,
yeah,
belongs in there for Hereditary, but like do they not look at genre stuff? Or is A Quiet Place too genre-y, so it only gets like a technical category or whatever, you know, whatever.
No, I hear you. Look, Warner Brothers didn't even bother to do any kind of campaigning for Paddington 2.
Oh, Paddington 2. Oh, yes. It got nothing.
Nothing.
So does that belong in like visual effects, do you think, or screenplay? Or
yes.
All of the above.
Production design.
Yeah. It's beautifully detailed, yes.
Richard, Hugh Grant.
Right.
Like, there were a lot of ways they could have score.
Yeah.
There were a lot of different ways they could have acknowledged that movie. But the its American distributor did not even bother to do anything for it. I think Lafka might have been the only, like, making it a runner-up in mm-hmm. supporting actor. I think that was the most attention it got.
Yeah. So basically a lot of it is, like, who has their shit together to mount a campaign to get it in front of the eyeballs of the
sure.
people who make these decisions.
And what do studios throw their weight behind? I mean, like, I would argue, I'm sure Universal really tried on First Man and probably, then had to start paying more attention to Green Book when it became this kind of groundswell after winning the audience award at Toronto.
And put those eggs in that basket.
I'm going to give them credit. They could do more than one thing at a time. But like for smaller studios, like Sony Classics, they got The Wife all the way across the finish line, and they got, the Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck film in there. But, did they push Stan and Ollie hard enough on the Academy? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a movie that older Academy members would have really embraced. It had four really good performances, not just Coogan and Riley, but also Nina Arianda and Shirley Henderson as their wives. There was a lot to love in that movie, and I think they just didn't have the wherewithal to make that a priority for people, unfortunately. But, it is still getting a wider release this month. I do hope people go see it. I really enjoy that film.
Right. And then smaller studios also, like Amazon, which wasn't always a studio, right?
Right.
So they put a lot of energy behind Timothy Chalamet for Beautiful Boy.
Right.
And they put a lot of energy behind Cold War.
Yeah.
And that paid off.
Yeah.
They also had Suspiria.
Right.
He did nothing for, because I guess he figured it's just too weird.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably were trying to push like the Tom York stuff and some of the tech categories and production design or whatever. And Chalamet, that's a fine performance, but in a film that didn't really resonate with people that nobody talked about. Nicole Kidman didn't get anything for Destroyer or for Boy Erased.
Right. And nothing for Ben is Back, if we're talking about that same kind of movie, like a really well-made, well-acted, handsome, traditional awards category type stuff. Like, that didn't get anything either. So.
Yeah, I mean, Mary Queen of Scots only got some tech stuff, nothing for On the Basis of Sex.
Mm-hmm.
So
the traditional kind of stuff that usually gets nominations.
Yes, exactly. Something that's sort of costumey or historical or whatever. But again, those were both movies directed by women, so,
That is true. That is true. So I guess, mixed. Like, there's some stuff that's a real bummer, but then there's some stuff that's really exciting. And I guess in the fact that my two favorite movies of the year got the most nominations, I should be happy.
You should be happy with
that. I should be happy, despite the song that's playing at the beginning of our episode here. Any other thoughts? And then the Razzie nominations came out too, but I don't know if you guys care about that.
The Razzies, as much as I love the idea of it, I think they tend to go after a lot of low-hanging fruit. Although, I did appreciate the fact that Donald Trump got nominated for his appearance in Fahrenheit 11-9 and whatever that stupid Dinesh D'Souza movie was.
Yes, he could just show up and be himself and be terrible.
Mm.
And like Gotti. Yeah, of course Gotti's terrible.
Well, of course Gotti and Happy Timers. I mean, they're not wrong, but like a lot of years it's like, you guys didn't really quite dig deep enough. But, Gotti and Happy Time Murders are right there. So,
you can't ignore them. Winchester got a lot of Razzie nominations.
Right, and that was on your worst list.
It was. So. Helen Mirren got a Razzie nomination.
So Melissa McCarthy has a Razzie and an Oscar nomination this year?
She does.
I called it.
She does. I feel like, didn't that happen to Halle Berry also?
No, it was, that was in consecutive years. It was
Monsters Ball.
San Sandra Bullock.
Oh, right.
Had All About Steve and I think Blindside in the same year. But yeah, no. When Halle Berry won for Catwoman, she showed up and brought her Oscar from Monsters Ball with her. I'm like, oh yeah,
good for her. Have fun with this.
That's a baller move.
So we'll probably at some point closer to the Oscars do like an actual Oscar prediction episode.
Yeah, I'm a terrible prognosticator, but what the heck?
Sure. Yeah, just for fun. So we'll do that, and we have an actual normal
show
breakfast all day show coming up on Thursday. We will talk about, what is this week? My mind's such a blur. Serenity and The Kid Who Would Be King.
And we'll get episodes 2 and 3 of True Detective.
And we watched the Brexit movie on HBO. The Benedict Cumberbatch Brexit movie. Did you watch that yet?
Not yet, but I will.
I watched it. It's good. So we have a multitude of stuff. And Matt will hopefully be here too. Ben's out of town.
Yes.
For those of you asking, where is Ben? We also ask where is Ben, but we know where he is, and he had to fly out of town today. He had to go to New York for work.
The difference is we get to ask Ben where's Ben, so, you know.
And so he responds. So, so thank you for watching and listening. Hopefully you can see and hear us, and we'll be back on Thursday with a normal episode. And where can folks find us?
Oh, at BeFastAllDay on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can subscribe to the podcast and leave us positive feedback about the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Spotify and SoundCloud and all of those places. And we're BeFastAllDay on what are we on YouTube? Is it BeFastAllDay Podcast or BeFastAllDay?
If you search for Breakfast All Day on YouTube, you can find us. So you'll find us. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.